This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
I believe we've got a major on the phone, Pete Dillon.
We do. We have Major Andrew Crabe. He is the Territorial Media Relations Director for the Salvation Army. He has been a Salvo for 28 years, an officer. And he joins us to talk about the Salvation Army and the conversations around human sexuality, which have been very much in the press over the last week. We had a discussion just a couple of nights ago on Salt and Pepper about the news and our opinion around those.
We did, and it's useful to declare that we actually recorded part of that show early on due to some other conflicting things in our schedule, which is why when we talked about not having been able to get you on the phone, Andrew, at that point in time we actually hadn't. So it's really great that you're joining us this afternoon. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
No problems at all. Thank you for the opportunity.
Look, we're following the news item, which is all instigated by Darren Hayes, the previous lead singer of Savage Garden, a band out of Queensland, and an out and proud gay man, as you know, a lot of us are, men and women. We want to chat through to you. We want to chat through some of these position statements that we've grabbed off your website. And we feel that in the balance of fair debate, our show, Salt and Pepper, is about offering balanced debate. And we'd like to chat through the Salvo's position on homosexuality and whether or not there's been an evolution in that position over time.
Sure. Happy to do that.
Look, one of the clarifications that you released a couple of days ago on the Salvation Army's dialogue, if you will, around the way it deals internally with issues of sexuality. There's a clarification. The Salvation Army statement on homosexuality that dates back to the 90s has been the subject of debate this week. Very clearly, that's what you released. Do you think 22 years later, after the 90s, that it's probably worth reviewing that position?
Look, I think there's always time for review in lots of elements. I think, though, the greater clarification that I would bring that may be of assistance is that the statement is really about membership to the Salvation Army. So I wouldn't want for there to be confusion or for people to think that what we believe to be right, whether that seems right to yourself or any other person, but what we believe to be right in our Christian practice is what the statement is dealing with, but that doesn't necessarily translate or go across how we treat any human being at any time. So just because we would say, well, if you are a homosexual, and for us we would say to be a full member of the Salvation Army, you ought not to be practicing in your humans in your homosexuality, that's a choice we ask for you to make by way of full membership of the Salvation Army. Does
and
that
tell
stop
me,
you from coming along to the Salvation Army and being a part of worship at any time?
But
no,
you just can't. You just can't be part of the family that is the Salvos, by the sounds of it. And I'm interested to know how.
Not quite, because being part of the worshiping body is still about being part of that family.
I don't know that that's the truth. I don't know that I agree with that. How do you police people's monitoring or abolition of their sexual behaviour? Is how do you, you know, if I'm a homosexual woman and I seek membership, how would you police my behaviour to ensure that I'm not engaging in that practice?
Look, that's about conversation with individuals, and we would go through, you know, membership classes, which is all about conversation. So I think that's just about the conversation that takes place and the person's revelations within that. But as I was going on to say, that doesn't make any difference to the employment of personnel or the engagement of volunteers or the manner by which we deliver services to any individual within the community. And that was only the objection that I would have had to that which was attributed to Darren Hayes was more along the lines that I can understand that he doesn't believe necessarily the same things as I, but why then suggest to people that they don't support the Salvation Army financially, which allows us to continue to support any person in need within the community?
Andrew,
that was more the question for us.
The support around supporting the Salvation Army financially, I think a lot of people like Serena and myself who are practicing homosexuals, I don't actually practice it, I live it, I am gay, I don't have any choice as to whether I practice it or not. To live that experience is something that is part of my DNA. I don't get a choice. When you talk about those people that want to come and worship with the Salvos to be part of the broader family church, there is a prevention with anyone who is admittedly a homosexual who is wanting to be an officer within the Salvation Army.
And that's the membership component, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Well, that would be part of that. But that's a choice that they make. No different, well, I say no different to the fact that I make a choice to be one who abstains from alcohol or the non...
No, sorry, mate. We're not going to wear that. We're not going to wear that this is a choice. And I have to tell you, I need to put you on notice that we find that highly offensive. I do want to talk to you about the Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine. Are you still using the Salvation Story as a way of coaching your soldiers and the people entering your membership?
Oh, it may be one that some people use. Yes.
Because it's really interesting. I had a little read last night, all 170 pages of it, and I came across a couple of chapters that kind of worried me, one of which is the problem of evil. And it talks about human wickedness and it posing an enormous problem for Christians. And it refers to the Romans, which is Book 1, 18 to 32. And it talks about the evil of women engaging in natural sexual relations with other women and the same way that men abandon natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Look, it kind of concerns me that although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. That's in Romans 18 to 32, and that's in your book of doctrines. That's part of the handbook that you give out to your soldiers. Now, if I'm a fledgling homosexual and I feel that I might need some religious dogma or guidance, and I go to the Salvation, and I haven't declared my sexuality to myself, so I'm not going to declare it to you. If I go and I read that, and I connect with my sexuality, Andrew, then that says, according to the Salvation Army, that I deserve death. How do you respond to that as part of your doctrine?
Well, that's a part of our belief system.
So we should die.
We have an alignment to the scriptures, but that's our belief.
Wow, so we should die. So this is on page it's on page 28 of the Salvation Story, which you can download online. It's wonderfully available. I love that. If we go a bit further into sin, which is on page 61 and 63, again, it's going into Romans again. And look, you know, I accept that you're out there wanting to help people. I don't consider myself to be part of the oppressed or the marginalised. I don't accept that this sexuality that is part of my DNA is a choice. I also don't accept the support of any religion in a financial sense. And this is what the gay community is up in arms about, that you're proposing in your religious doctrine, in the way that you train, this is part of your training of your soldiers, that because we're gay, we must die. If you go to Romans, Book 1, 18 to 32, it's all there, mate. I mean, how can you stand by that? How is that Christian?
Well, because that is part of our Christian doctrine.
But how is it Christian? Shouldn't it be about love?
That's our understanding of that. Well, the love that we would show is about that consideration for all human beings to come to no salvation.
Or die.
Well, yes.
Andrew, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but we're all going to die. It's just when. I just want to I want to bring up something else that is part of your Articles of War, which when you're becoming a soldier with the Salvation Army, there are certain beliefs that or covenants that one must agree to. One of those states that we believe in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God, so that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. In those said testaments, we want to talk about Old Testament Leviticus. The amount of contradictions in Leviticus when we're talking about a woman should be stoned to death because she's been raped. We certainly can't wear different fabrics, and that would allow us to be smoked by our neighbours. We can't eat shellfish, that we must only eat food that has the fins or scales or a cloven hoof. I mean, it's 2012. A lot of these doctrines go back several thousand years. How can they still be relevant in a modern society that has seen an enormous amount of change and understanding and compassion? How at what point will the Selvos look at these doctrines and say, well, hang on, we have to move. We have to come forward to 2012, because we are ultimately, and this is the tenet of what a man from Savage Garden said, Darren Hayes, that the organisation is openly homophobic in this very, very sense.
And your doctrine, 170 pages of it, actively promotes the evil of homosexuality, and if it's not resolved, that the outcome must be death. It's very archaic in the way that it's written, but it's there in black and white. It's on page 28, it's on page 61 of the Salvation Story. Honestly, Andrew, tell me, as a human being, how can you qualify that?
Well, I qualify by way of that. That's where my belief system is structured. You know, it's what it comes down to, that salvation story, and that we can be redeemed from that.
So, Andrew,
that's my belief.
If Rebecca, Rachel, or Benjamin, one of your three children, came home and said to you, "Dad, I'm gay."
What are you going to do?
Or I'm a lesbian. How will you react to that?
I would continue to love them just as I do now.
So they won't die under your rule, but everybody
else.
I'm not
saying that they wouldn't die, because I would still want them to know salvation.
But would you try and encourage them to find salvation, or would you allow them to be? Would you allow them to live? Would you allow them to learn to love and accept?
Because freedom is salvation, and freedom of expression and freedom to be is salvation, and it's what we've fought for so long. Will you apply a different set of rules, or will you still embrace the salvation story and its doctrine and its dogma if one of your children were to come home and confess their homosexuality?
Yeah, look, for me, I don't see my stance changing on that at this point of time.
Right.
Okay, I want to move on to something else that's about employment and volunteering with the Salvation Army. You state in your statement put out just this week that you do not consider sexuality a factor in deciding who we employ or in the engagement of volunteers. Some of our best employees and volunteers are people who are openly gay. You also spoke to Dean Beck on this very station earlier today.
Sure.
I'd like to read something for you that came in an email on that program that Dean didn't unfortunately get to in his discussion with you. Thanks, Joy, for your wonderful programming. To contribute to the conversation on the boycott of the Salvation Army, I was once in need of assistance from the Salvation Army and ended up being refused that assistance unless I was to participate in their Project Exodus. I'm sorry, but it's not that long ago the organisation was running this program, and I'm deeply offended by the notion we're a bit different now. It sounds like wolves in sheep's clothing. Talk to me about Project Exodus and why this person would have been encouraged to go through that project.
I'm not familiar with Project Exodus, I'm sorry.
Sorry, you've been an officer in the Salvation Army for 28 years.
Yep.
You're a senior member of their leadership team, if you will, in Victoria, and you're not familiar with Project Exodus?
No, I've never heard of Project Exodus. Well, I haven't been in Victoria all my time. I've been in South Australia for the past 23 years, but I've not heard of Project Exodus.
Well, I'm assuming that these doctrines and these statements aren't mutable or don't change from state to state.
I'm not familiar with the program, so I'm not sure what you're talking about within that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, ultimately,
I've not known of any program that we've had people participating in, whereby. They've been asked to make that distinction.
I guess,
like, the only time that I would know of anybody being questioned in regards to sexuality would be by way of our health workers in the St Kilda area. So that's the only time that I would know any question of that at all.
We are speaking with Major Andrew Crabe. He is the Territorial Media Relations Director with the Salvation Army here in Victoria. Andrew, there's a lot of parts of this discussion that we've had already, and I'm sure that this discussion is going to be ongoing within the GLBT community and beyond. Can you give us a statement, a reason why we shouldn't boycott the Salvation Army and why we shouldn't boycott making contributions to things like the Red Shield Appeal?
Well, I only would confer with what I'd said before, that the monies that are given to us from the public are about making services available within the community that make a difference in people's lives. So that's from that broad range of young people and youth to accommodation services, to services that are assisting those who are abused, to the homeless, and so on. So that's what those monies are used for.
Understood. I guess the disconnect for us is that, you know, the salvos spruiks for money, and we get that. I think you'll find that the gay and lesbian community is one of the most charitable you'll ever come across, because we've lived a life of marginalisation. I guess the disconnect for us, Andrew, is the things that we've read out tonight regarding your position on evil and sin as it relates to homosexuality. And I don't feel inspired to contribute to the work that you're doing anymore. Now that I've read this, and when this goes to air, I think other people might have a similar feeling. And, you know, I just feel like it's not enough to me that you say, well, that's my belief, because I just feel like I want more from you in response to the very heavy stuff that we've talked about in Romans alone. I mean, it just doesn't work for me that you want donations from people, and yet you've got this really fixed position on our sexuality and where you see that going.
Well, I think ultimately that becomes your choice as to where you want to put your donation. My only come back on that is the fact that regardless of what our own personal belief and position is, it makes no difference to the treatment that we have for those who are marginalised and disadvantaged within our community. And I think that we continue to show that. So that's all I can leave with listeners in that regard.
Andrew, a final question. The Salvation Army submitted to the House of Representatives survey, of which there are about 270,000 submissions. And your submission was against a change in the Federal Marriage Act, so that that same-sex attracted people who are in loving and quite often monogamous relationships can't marry. Did you ask your gay member of staff their opinion before you put that submission on behalf of the organisation?
No, I don't believe it was asking them first.
How many gay members of staff have you got?
Look, I couldn't tell you.
And I dare say they won't tell you either. Look, Andrew Craig, we have very much enjoyed speaking with you tonight. We've obviously posed some very hard and fast questions to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity of conversation.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
Good night.
Good night. Bless you.
That was Major Andrew Crabe, who is the Southern...
He's a media dude from the Salvation Army. He's got such a long title. And look... You know what? I feel a bit crestfallen in some respects, Pete. We hit him with some very compelling information, and his position didn't change. Mm. And I don't suppose I expected it to, but I'm not sure our listeners are aware of their very staunch position as discussed in the Salvation story.
And when you put those lines from Romans around death, and he would not back down.
He wouldn't
back away
down.
From it. And there's now other questions forming in my mind, and in particular around his kids. You know, there are so many kids who come from multi-faith backgrounds, whatever that faith is, who are, because of the faith of their family or the choices of their parents or their grandparents, they're born into a faith, like
we were born into a Catholic
faith. That those kids don't get a choice, and therefore, when they do rebel, when they do accept their sexuality and decide to leave that, then they're in a position where they're making a choice between, you know, quite often between their family and themselves.
And their freedom.
And I think this is an incredibly interesting discussion to have with people, because we're now of the understanding that this is just one faith. And I'm sure if we had the same discussion with George Pell from the Catholics, that if we had the same discussion from Peter Jensen from the Anglican Church in Sydney, if we had the same discussion with that crazy lunatic from the fundamentalist mob, any one of those, that we would get the same answer. And I find that really disturbing, that in this day and age, that there are still people who are willing to sacrifice the sanity and the safety and the integrity of their own children because of something that they were born into or chose to believe.
And you know what? I'm walking away from this feeling terribly sad, because... You know, we painted a really clear picture of what their dogma is.
Mm.
Okay, and I feel that there is no salvation in the Salvation Army if you are of a homosexual persuasion. I feel that it's a double standard to ask for money when in fact you fundamentally reject the existence of a good portion of the human race,
happiness or their safety.
Saying that we need salvation because what we're doing is a choice, and that yes, we must face death, in God's eye if we can't resolve this. I feel a bit sick, to be honest.
Also offended at the statement he gave us that should we, that he chooses not to drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes or take drugs or watch pornography or any one of a number of things that as an officer he must subscribe to. And each one of those is choices. We don't choose to be who we are. We are who we are. And I think that's a very sad indictment on the Salvation Army and all the statements they release. I don't think can reform the ideas in many GLBT people that to them we may not exist.
I also think, to recap, what I take away from this is the Salvation Army considers us to be the oppressed and enslaved, and therefore we are able to access their services, which I'd have to be at death's door and I still wouldn't. And you can't be a homosexual and be a member. You cannot be a member. You cannot espouse, and why would you, espouse the doctrine of the Salvation Story and any other piece of information that they use in their training if you're a gay person, and I find that terribly disturbing.
This has been a Salt and Pepper special broadcast. This will be podcast for everybody to enjoy and perhaps to participate in this discussion. If you wanted more information, you want to chat with us, we are Salt in Pepper Joy
on Twitter.
Or you can email saltandpepper@joy.org.au. She's been Serena Ryan.
He's been Pete Dillon.
And we shall see you on Tuesday night at 11 o'clock.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.